San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, October 6, 2019. Today's lesson is Spiritual Integrity with Dr. Constance Cook Core. Good morning. It is wonderful to be here with you this morning as we enter a new month. As we enter the month of October 2019, and in this year of 2019, our annual theme has been living a spiritual life. So we've gone through various themes of the month, leading us up through last month, which was inspiration, into this month, which is integrity. Now, integrity is a word that gets tossed around quite a bit. So it is wise of us, integrous of us, to figure out just what integrity means. The common human way of thinking of integrity is of adhering to a set of moral values that are appealing to a certain group. So a group of people who believe in the right to life would think that it would be, they would be in integrity by condemning anyone who would not allow for the sanctity of every life. The people who are in favor of choice on whether or not to bear a child would not have the same sense of integrity. Well, they would have the same sense of integrity, but theirs would be in adherence with a different set of moral values. So when we look at integrity as thinking that it relates just to morality, we are mistaken. We are mistaken. Integrity actually means an unimpaired condition of soundness. And if we want to look at the real, pure definition of integrity, we should look to structural integrity first. A sound, unimpaired, or perfect condition might be the integrity of a ship's hull, might be the integrity of a bridge across a body of water. Years ago, we had a major earthquake in Northridge. Might have been 2006. And we, from here in San Diego, I got a call from a relative that said, put on the news, your alma mater is no longer. So I turned on the news, and here's this huge earthquake and all the freeways falling all around Northridge. And I recognized areas of Cal State Northridge, and I recognized the shopping center where my husband and I bought my wedding set before we got married. And it was gone. I mean, that whole shopping center. That was the one where the parking levels fell and people were crushed and parts of the freeway fell. Well, shortly after that, in San Diego, it was funded through the University of San Diego to go out and look at the structural integrity of their buildings. And here locally, we had people looking at the structural integrity of our bridges and our freeways, to make sure that they were sound, that they were unimpaired. And a friend of mine was a mason. He was getting on in years and kind of partially retired from his own business. And he actually took a job, a full-time job again, to be a part of the crew that evaluated the bridges, because that was his expertise. One of the things we do when we are being true to ourselves is we answer those calls. He answered the call to bring his expertise to bear so that younger people who didn't have the experience to notice something wrong with the concrete or the foundation, that they would think, oh, it's, you know, just a little gravel. Charlie was going, no, wait, look, this gravel came from up there at the underpass of the overpass. So it was important for him to do. One of the ways that we should be looking at integrity is as wholeness, as the state of being complete and honest and sincere. Doesn't matter what your morals are, as long as you are honest, truthful, not biased by somebody else's story, but absolute truth. Integrity is the state of being whole and undivided. As a sphere is whole, it has no straight lines, it has no corners, it has no real angles. It's a complete, perfect symbol. It is the one perfect symbol in the universe. Of course, then we say, well, no, everything's whole, perfect, and complete. Well, it is, but geometrically, a sphere is the perfect element. So we want to think about what does it take to be in integrity? So integrity is a concept of consistency of actions, values, methods, measures, principles, expectations, and outcomes. Consistency of actions, values, methods, measures, principles, expectations, and outcomes. And immediately, what comes to mind is the integrity of the universe, because that's all those things. Now, in ethics, integrity is regarded as the honesty and truthfulness or accuracy of one's actions. So the key words here are consistency, honesty, truthfulness, or accuracy of one's actions. Consistency, honesty, and truthfulness or accuracy. Now, I found it interesting that truthfulness or accuracy came as one. In our world today, the sharing of information through various news media, online, radio, newspaper, books, all of that sharing of information is inconsistent. Maybe part of it could be accurate, but it's no longer just the facts, ma'am. It's, well, here's this rumor that I can't confirm, and so let me disasterize it for everybody. And let me dishonestly, inaccurately portray a story that I want to tell. My friends, the people who are doing that are out of integrity. And it concerns me that they may not even know it. They may be so convinced of their motivation, their personal morals, their end game, that they fail to see that they are far, far out of integrity. So consistency. What is consistency? Well, it's being the same regardless of the situation. So it's like the universal law. The law always says yes. The law doesn't judge what you ask for, what you request, what you do. All it does is say, of course, I will supply you with that which is the predominance of your thought. That which you think of most, that which you believe in your heart, here it is. And if that is an absence of integrity, well, there it is. You can have more of it. But the universal law is pure integrity. Gives you exactly what you want, no matter who asks, no matter what they ask for. Now, inconsistency is people or leaders who change based on a whim or an emotion. How many people have gone to work and employee A says, boss, can I have Saturday off? It's my birthday. And the boss says, sure, no problem. Get somebody to work for you. Another person comes up, boss, can I have the following Saturday off? That's my birthday. He says, well, I don't think so. You know, we need you here. Inconsistency, treating people differently based on who they are and the emotion. If that was a consistent policy, you can have your day off. It wouldn't matter whether the leader looked at the schedule, looked at the people, looked at anything except to confirm that's your birthday. So in order to be good leaders, good people, we need to be consistent. We need to say, well, these are the rules, and I'm playing by the rules, or I'm going to go through the process of changing the rules. Now, honesty. Honesty is the best policy. You know, we raise our children with that. Honesty is the best policy. And then how many of us, as we were growing up, being told honesty is the best policy, looked at our family members, even our parents, telling what they called white lies so that they wouldn't hurt somebody's feeling. Well, a lie is a lie. It's not so much that you need to tell something that isn't true, but be discerning in what you say in the first place. Maybe it's not necessary to say, you know, your cat died in its sleep when you actually saw somebody run over their cat in the street. Maybe that's not yours to tell. And whenever we tell what is considered a white lie, there's always the option of somebody coming up and saying, well, no, that's not what happened. I saw their cat get hit by a car. So what we're doing every time we tell one of these white lies is we are compromising our own integrity. We are not being truthful or honest within our hearts as to why we're doing it, or with our words as to what we're doing it. An example of how this plays out in the workplace is, say you have this wonderful boss. He comes in and he says, we're all about teamwork here. Everything, you know, there's no I in team. And here we are, we all work together. And one of the team members says, I have an idea. And they express their idea. And the team leader says, great idea. Turns around and walks away. Doesn't pay any attention to it. Doesn't listen to the team members. Doesn't listen to the new ideas or the need for a new schedule, the fact that things might not be working out perfectly. They aren't listening. So they're actually being dishonest. They are out of integrity. They are incongruent with what they're saying and what they're doing. We always want to be honest with ourselves. And in all truthfulness, human beings often tend to ascribe motives to themselves that are more altruistic than they actually are. Well, I'm doing this for the greater good. And in doing this for the greater good, I get accolades from amongst my peers. I get bonuses. I get extra perks. I get a special parking place. So am I truly altruistic in what I am doing? Or am I seeking attention? There are an awful lot of attention seekers. Well, let's go back to the media here. People and reporters, to me, when I was growing up, the news was the news. I don't even remember if they had bylines saying it was by Joe Reporter and Susie Journalist. I don't remember those. I remember headlines and stories. I remember dates and places. I remember things picked up by the AP. I don't remember Joe Smith wrote this article. And so let's laud Joe Smith for coming up with this stuff that he's sharing. And so there are journalists, reporters, news anchors, analysts, who are claiming altruism and yet are seeking glory. That's okay. They can have their glory. But for Pete's sake, would they please have some integrity? Be honest that they're seeking glory and maybe be a little bit accurate in their reporting. I feel now like no matter what news I turn on, no matter what article I read, I am not getting the truth. So anything that interests me, I have to do a whole lot of research on. And I didn't used to have to do this. Years ago, I started watching C-SPAN. Because I was getting stuff on the news that didn't make sense to me. With my background, I'm a scientist and I worked with the Department of Defense, so I had access to different bits of information that the general populace didn't have. So something would come up on the news and I go, no, no, that is not how things work. That is absolutely not true. So I started watching C-SPAN, watching the House of Representatives and the Senate in session and in their meetings. And I would watch, and then I would get the news report, and I'm going, were we even watching the same thing? Because, you know, here somebody's giving testimony and there's this huge body of information and they come out with so-and-so was antagonistic to Congressman A. And you go, no, wait, I watched that. Congressman A was yelling at the guy and he said, hey, quit yelling. Something on that order. So we need to be honest in our motivation for things. You want to do it for fame? Fine. Do it for fame. Know that you are doing it for fame. And try not to become infamous in the process. The truthfulness or accuracy of one's actions. There's a lot of people who will say, well, I have work me, and I have home me, and I have social media me. And that's okay to a certain extent. It's okay when you are bringing your true self to each of these different areas. The true self I bring to work does not behave the same way as the true self I am at home. For instance, I don't go to work in my jammies, and I don't sit there eating a sandwich in the middle of a meeting. I take off my shoes, you know, I walk into my office, take off my shoes, and then run around in my stockings all day. But the thing is, we have certain behavior required at work. We have certain behavior that is much more relaxed at home. And we have certain behavior in our social environment, when we go to parties, when we go to ball games, when we post on social media. So we have different behaviors that we do. And yet, all those different behaviors come from the same me. They come from the same person, the spiritual integrity, the truth, the honor, the wholeness, the honesty, the consistency, the accuracy. You're you all the time. So if you're trying to hide who you are, the question becomes why? Why? When have you ever been unacceptable? You are a spiritual immortal being. You are the beloved child of the divine. You are God in action. So when did that become unacceptable? When did somebody choose to call you less than beautiful or less than whole? And what kind of an idiot were they? They were an unaware person. They weren't an idiot. They were ignorant. Ignorant means not knowing. Idiot is a level of incapacity to know. But they were ignorant of the truth, of your wholeness, of your beauty, of the love that you are, of every aspect of you that is divine, for which we are enormously grateful. Enormously grateful. So in your you are you all the time, the only difference in who you bring to these different environments is the details you care to share. The details you care to share. When I go to work, I don't want to talk about my puppy being sick and having to clean up the whole bathroom that still stinks because the puppy didn't like the food that it ate and it came out every which way. That's not what I bring to work. That's what I live with at home. But I'm still me. I still clean up. I still take responsibility for who I am. I still have sensitivity to what other people might hear when I speak. You know, if somebody's very sensitive about bodily fluids, they're probably sensitive about puppy bodily fluids as well. So why bring it up? And that's my choice. Our inner sense of wholeness and our consistency of character. How do we get that? How do we get that? What does it take? It takes consciousness and choice. That's it. Consciousness and choice. Everybody can choose, but the greater our conscious awareness of who we are, the greater our capacity to make choices that support our awareness of who we are. I have some quotes that I would like to share with you. This is 365 Science of Mind. It is a year of daily wisdom from Ernest Holmes. And this is on page 330. It's in the month of November, which in this book is gratitude. So there's a few things I want to say. He writes in here, "Today I loose all condemnation. I judge not, and I am judged only by the law of good. There is no animosity, no criticism, no hatred. I shall behold the face of love, of beauty, and of peace in everyone I meet. I know that every right motive has the blessing of spirit, and that there is nothing that opposes this blessing or denies this divine givingness." What takes us out of integrity faster than condemning? Nothing. But it's a choice. We choose to see the inner truth rather than the outer behavior. He goes on to say, to quote from the Science of Mind textbook on page 457 and 458. It's in the area of divine forgiveness. Ernest Holmes says, "Know this, virtue does not know that it is virtuous, and it could know, and could it know, it would immediately become vicious. Virtue is sweet as the morning dew, soft as the evening star, and brilliant as the noonday sun. Could the dew tell why it is sweet, the star say why its light is soft, or the sun say why it shines? When we learn to put away our petty virtues with our petty vices, then shall we see clearly not what either virtue or vice is, but what truth is." He says, "The mind which condemns understands not the truth of being, and the heart which would shut the door of its bosom to one who is mistaken strangles its own life, closing its eyes to a greater vision. The biggest life is the one which includes the most. Not that we foster vice or place a premium upon wrongdoing, but that we understand the frailties of human nature and learn to overlook much. To him who loves much, much is forgiven." And I want to reiterate here, we're not fostering wrongdoing. We're not saying all of these people who are out of integrity, all the misbehavior of the world, that's okay. That's okay. We forgive you. No. We look at the action and we discern that that action is damaging and should not continue. And we look also within who is acting. And who is acting is also a spiritual, immortal being, worthy of the infinite love that we all are. So we can love the life, the divine spark, within even the person who gives the most heinous behavior. But we don't have to say, "Sure, go ahead. Keep on blowing up towers. Keep on beheading people. Keep on going to war. Keep on putting plastics in the ocean. Go ahead." No. We can say, "I understand that you are not in integrity. You do not have consciousness of a level that will support your behavior in the way I would prefer you behave. Just because I would prefer you to behave does not mean that's your path." So we're not to be blind or accept viciousness, but to be clear on the difference between actions and inner divinity. Again, it's consciousness and choice. Consciousness and choice. One of my cousins, I have cousins all over the nation. One of them posted a quote. I'm not sure when she posted it, but I saw it this morning as I was checking some Facebook things. It says, when a flower doesn't bloom, you fix the environment in which it grows, not the flower. So when we see all of this stuff going on, let's remember to see the flower and maybe see what we can do to support universal spiritual divine integrity in everything we think, do, and say. Because when we do that, we are fostering an environment that is a better place for a flower to grow. We're not going to pour Roundup on the dirt and stick the flower there. Ernest Holmes, who, by the way, is the author of the Science of Mind textbook and the founder of Religious Science, also talked a bit about consciousness and choice and integrity. And these are on 446 and 447, and they're just random pieces. It's not a whole section. He says, spiritual experience is a fact. Spirituality may be defined as an atmosphere of good, the realization of God. It cannot and does not borrow its light from another, no matter how great or noble that other may be. It springs from within, coming from that never-failing fountain of life, which quenches every thirst, whose source is in eternity. It is a revelation of the self to the self. Revelation of the self to the self, putting one back on the track of his own spiritual dependence on spirit, his own at-one-ment with reality. With respect to the cause of human troubles, Ernest writes, the integrity of the universe cannot be questioned nor doubted. Remember we talked about the law? Always says yes. So we're going to say, well, is there ever a chance that you might not say yes? And the answer would be to demonstrate more. The universe is not going to say no. No, there's never a chance. What it's going to do is it's going to show you more. The spirit must be and is perfect. That which is back of everything must be good, must be complete, must be love and harmony. When we are out of harmony with some special good, it's because we are off the track along that particular line of the activity of spirit. Spirit, the universe, is absolutely perfect. When we align ourselves with spirit, everything flows. When we have a lack of clarity, when we are confused, then what we experience is a world around us that has confusion. And judging from the world that we see now, discerning from the world that we see now, I'm guessing there's an awful lot of confused people. An awful lot. And so we can stand in the truth and know that there is clarity, there is truth, there is conviction to knowing the divine center of each and every one. Ernest says, most people are unhappy. Few have any realization of permanent peace. Now, you're not going to find that in one of the quotes that you look up for Ernest Holmes online. Most people are unhappy. Few have any realization of permanent peace. He's not making a claim on the universe that this should be so. He is acknowledging what he has seen in his experience. It's okay to acknowledge what we see in our experience without believing it to be the truth of being or the truth of ourselves. We seek fragments when the whole is at hand. How illogical to think that anything can rise higher than its source. How can we achieve anything greater than our consciousness to conceive? I know I am never going to be a 7-foot-tall, 23-year-old star basketball player in the NBA. I'm not. My consciousness won't. It laughs at me if I come up with that. That is not part of what I conceive as being available to me in this life. And yet, if I did believe that was available, Lord knows it would happen. But I just can't, you know? To me, that's one of those laughable examples. The universe is a perfect, undivided whole, and healing can take place only when one is unified with it. How can anyone then be healed in part? Let us seek wholeness above all else. Give our undivided attention to the spiritual unit back of all things. Consciousness and choice. We awaken our consciousness. We are awakened in consciousness by the various things that we study, by the people that we surround ourselves with, by everything that goes on in our life, and by our inner work, by being aware that it is within us already. There is nothing that we are lacking. We are sound, we are unimpaired, and we are in perfect condition. We truly are. I have a bit that I wanted to share. I think I must have planned too much for this week. It's all about minding your spiritual manners on earth. So I'll go into detail on that another time. But I do want to tell you that as spiritual beings having a human incarnation, we are a beloved guest on the planet Earth. And therefore, we should mind our manners. And etiquette, do you know what etiquette is? It's a French word. It was put in play by a gardener. And what it means is keep off the grass. So over time, keep off the grass has formed into a set of guidelines for being inoffensive and yet still being in integrity. And integrity is the backbone of our spiritual manners. It absolutely is. So the character is considered to be the sum total of our traits. However, character is more than personality. It's behavior patterns. Consistency? Formed by the evolution of our individual perceptions, beliefs, opinions, understanding, insights, values, and attitudes. When these operate in harmony with the laws of universe, we live in fundamental integrity. We mind our spiritual manners by walking our talk, honoring our commitments, being true to our word. There is congruency in what we think, say, and do. And that's from Reverend Michael Bernard Beckwith in Spiritual Liberation. And so he, again, is saying consciousness and choice, consistency, honesty, truthfulness or accuracy in all of our actions, in all of the things that we tell ourselves, in our heart of hearts, that is that divine center, that spark that burns within us, that is the eternal life, that is the infinite light. This is our spiritual integrity. And so I thank you for being here this morning. Namaste.